The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass. This time of year, when I say his last name, Fairbanks, I think of cooler places like Fairbanks, Alaska, where it's probably really, I don't know, midsummer, what, 65 degrees, Tom?
Oh, no.
No?
Oh, no.
Much warm?
75 to 85.
Oh, 75
sometimes
to 85.
In the 90s.
Wow, up to 90?
Oh, ooh. Yeah.
Okay. I'll think of Fairbanks in the winter. How's that? We welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It's Thursday, the 18th of June. We are bringing Southern Arizonans together here on the radio in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. We're on 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk. Tom, I want to do a real quick update before we get to Dick Grunzel of the airport on the fire, because a lot of people tune in, wonder what the latest is. Willow Canyon is the latest area that is under an evacuation. The good news is the firefighters have really done a workaround. Summerhaven kind of diverted it, so Summerhaven does not look like it is being threatened. However, the people are still evacuated. 31,000 acres, 40% contained, and we all know what it's going to take to put this fire out. The summer rains. 2 to 3 weeks away. This thing's going to burn just like 17 years ago with the Aspen fire.
And we haven't seen any of the clouds even peeking over the horizon yet.
No. I don't see any thunderstorms. Anyway, in the offing. Let's welcome Dick Grunzel. Dick is the Vice President of Administration and Finance, Chief Financial Officer for the Tucson Airport Authority. Once a quarter, he comes on our program. And Dick, it is good to see you back in studio. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Bill. It's really good to be here.
Yeah, it's good to be you. I can't remember if we did our March thing on the phone with you.
And those did.
Those are the dark days of aviation in this country.
Yeah. Well, the darkest. Darkest. I mean, they're still a little dark, but they were the darkest then.
Yeah, there is light at the end of the tunnel. We'll get to that in a few minutes. But first, when people are ready to fly, what changes will they see at our local airport?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that that we really are taking extremely seriously is that we want to make everyone comfortable from the start of their travel to the end. And so obviously that starts at the airport. And so we've come up with what we call a TUS CARES program, and it really covers just a lot of different things to really help people feel like they're going to be safe throughout their travel. So number one, face coverings over the nose and mouth are required for everyone who enters the terminal building, the rental car facility, and also, you know, going in and out of our parking facilities on the shuttle buses that take people from the economy lots and so forth. You know, and it really just goes along with all the airlines also requiring face coverings as well. But, you know, all of the health agencies, you know, local, federal, and everyone else realizes that this is the best practice. So, you know, we feel that's important. And that actually just came in like a week or two ago. But prior to that, we required all airport employees to wear face masks, probably going all the way back to April. So we really want to, you know, make people comfortable when they look around and they see everyone wearing the face coverings.
You know who's doing really well? The people that make these plexiglass shields. We've got one right here in front of you in our studio, and you've got them at the airport.
Yeah, they're everywhere. all the ticket counters, the gate podiums, the rental car counters. But yeah, it really is, you know, something simple, but again, very important to, you know, in the places where you might not be able to keep six feet away from people, the plexiglass shield is definitely important.
Tucson's always done real well with clean restrooms. I remember a few years ago there was some kind of national story that the TUS had some of the cleanest restroom airport facilities in the country.
Yes, and we do actually regular customer service surveys, and the restrooms always get very high marks. score extremely well on just cleanliness in general throughout the facility. But, you know, certainly now more than ever, it's important. We stepped up the frequency of cleaning, use hospital grade cleaners and disinfectants in these areas. All the public areas are being in high touch areas are getting extra cleaning more frequent. We disinfect the restrooms every night with special sanitization machines. I think most people have probably seen some of these things that the airlines are doing. There, these machines.
Yeah,
that
they look like
fog.
Some kind of a mister or fog
right.
type thing.
So that settles on all the surfaces
okay.
With a disinfectant. So that happens, in our restrooms. We've added just a ton more hand sanitizer stations throughout the terminal so people can, keep their hands clean and disinfected.
Mention about the physical distancing. Of course, there are markers like when you're waiting in line to go up to the ticket counter or through TSA, you will maintain
The 6-foot distance, yes. Mm-hmm. We do have those markers, which I'm sure people are familiar with, although ours are a little more sophisticated than just the red line. they do look a little better than that.
Like you had thrown tape down. It's what we call in the business some gaffer's tape,
right.
Black tape all over the place. All right, go ahead. As far as...
And those are at the boarding gates as well,
okay.
as also the... The jet bridges, we have those in the jet bridges so people can maintain the proper physical spacing.
Okay.
We've limited capacity on the airport parking shuttles, and after every trip, the shuttle buses are cleaned and disinfected. A couple of things that we're really excited about that are going to be coming soon. We have them on order and just waiting for the equipment to come in and get them installed is all of our escalators we're going to be putting UV light sanitizing equipment. And these are things that, you can't actually see them because they're actually kind of underneath the floor.
Mm-hmm.
But we will have signage, letting people know. But essentially what that means is every time the handrail comes up from underneath the floor and somebody touches it, it will have been sanitized immediately before somebody touches it. So those will be really nice when we get those installed.
Yeah, those are state-of-the-art. I saw the Heathrow Airport, one of the world's busiest airports, has them, and so they are on order. Do you have any idea when the supplier is going to make good on this?
I do not.
Okay. They've probably got a backlog like you wouldn't believe. That's a good business to be in.
I think we're a little on the front end of that because these are not chump change.
All right.
This does involve some money, so we're taking it very seriously. So the money aspect of these things is not something that we're concerned about right now.
People freak out about punching an elevator button.
Exactly. Up or down, and then even inside the floor number. Of course, we only have 3 floors, so we don't have to have a wide array of these. But that's another thing that we have on order that we're waiting to come in and for our elevator repair vendor to install. And these are basically toe kick buttons. So they're going to be, mounted a few inches off the floor. So when you're calling the elevator, there'll be an up button, a down button. You can just hit it with your toe to call the elevator. And then once you're inside the elevator, there will be a 1, 2, or 3 button so that you can, just touch the button
once
with
you're
your toe.
In the, wow. Very cool.
So you will not have to touch touch-free experience. And actually one other thing I'd like to mention,
sure.
too, in terms of touch-free is – we recently, within the last few months, rolled out a new parking reservation system where people can book their parking and pay for it at home through email. They will then get a QR code that they can either print or use their mobile device. There is new equipment at the entrance gate, so you open your window. You show the QR code.
Mm-hmm.
You go right in the parking lot. You don't even have to press the button to get a ticket. On the way out, same thing. It's already paid for, so you don't have to go and through a cashier lane. You just show your QR code on the machine, exit, totally touchless, totally contactless with any human being. So really a nice feature, again, for people who are concerned about having to touch things.
All right, coming up, and I'm going to take the break here because we're going to transition from the TUS CARES program to the what's going on with the flights and passengers starting to return to the airport. We'll find out about how it's going with Dick Grunzel, but we are going to take our break right here. It's the Buckmaster Show and the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. By the way, coming up at 12:30, Dr. Richard Carmona, so much to talk about with him. He's leading this whole, directing the reentry program for the U of A. So lots of questions for him. Very full hour as usual. Be right back.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com. The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. I'm Bill Buckmaster in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. We're doing our Tucson Air Service quarterly, and let's talk about air service now with Dick Grunzel, the Chief Financial Officer at Tucson Airport Authority. The dark days, and we kind of touched on this at the beginning of the program, things are really looking bleak, not only for Tucson, but airports around the country. Just a handful of I said patients, passengers were going through the airport. Things have improved, luckily, haven't they?
Yes, they have. And, you know, April was really, really the low point. Here in Tucson, we were had a 96% decline in passengers compared to last year in April. And that was very similar to what basically every other airport throughout the country had seen. In the month of May, that went up to about an 85% decline. In the you know, the first 3 weeks or so of June that we're looking at, we've had many days that are now over 30% of last year's level. So definitely things are on the upswing. And, you know, in terms of number of flights, to put it in perspective, you know, before this all started in February, we had about 60 flights per day. Now, normally, as we get into the summer months, that declines a little bit. So normally this time of year, we'd have about 50 flights a day. Mm-hmm. In April, we were down to 15 flights per day. May, we were up to about 18 flights per day. In June, we're about 23 flights per day, and in July, the schedule is showing about 29. So again, you know, a nice upward trend, and, you know, everything is looking like that's just going to continue to increase on a month-by-month basis.
Yeah, Southwest and American immediately will be adding service in July.
Yeah, I mean, Southwest and American are definitely the two airlines that seem to be the most bullish in terms of passenger passengers coming back and traveling again. You know, Delta and United, for example, I think in June are roughly about 70% down nationwide in their domestic, you know, travel flight schedules. Southwest and American are in that maybe 40 to 50% down. So, you know, they're definitely seeing things or have different strategies, you know, one of the two than the other airlines. You know, so, you know, definitely you're going to have more choices and more flexibility if you were to look at American and Southwest, just because they do have more flights.
Now, what about, have we lost any airlines?
No, we have not.
That's huge.
So that's great news. Yeah. You know, Sun Country has always been seasonal flights, and that it's the same way. I mean, they fly to Minneapolis during the winter and spring, and then they suspend those flights during the summer, and then they come back the next season. So they're doing the same thing. So right now we don't have Sun Country, but we, regardless of COVID, mm-hmm. we wouldn't have. But the thing that's interesting is that the CARES Act passed by the federal government actually allowed, you know, required certain airlines to maintain service in certain markets at certain levels. And according to that, neither Allegiant or Frontier was required to maintain service in Tucson. Because Tucson is seeing a much quicker return with passengers than the rest of the country, both Frontier and Allegiant decided to continue their service to Tucson, Frontier to Denver, and Allegiant not only continuing with their flights to Provo, but they actually added a new destination earlier in June.
That may be one of the first airlines in the country to add a new destination.
Yeah. So Allegiant is now flying twice per week from Tucson to Las Vegas on Thursdays and Sundays. So obviously perfectly timed for that quick weekend getaway to Las Vegas.
Well, obviously the airlines are looking. They're seeing a robust recovery in Tucson, and they figure, why not?
Exactly. You know, part of it, I think, is just due to the fact that leisure travel is returning much more rapidly than business travel. You know, quite honestly, I'd say business travel right now is still practically close to mm-hmm. close to zero. And Tucson is definitely a heavier leisure travel market. Overall, about 70% of the traffic coming in and out of Tucson is leisure travel and 30% business. So that's really helping us. You know, as I mentioned previously, Bill, you know, we've seen days recently of, you know, a third of our traffic levels from last year. Nationwide, that number is only right around 20%. So Tucson is definitely kind of leading the pack in terms of the return of travel.
Now, when folks are ready to travel, and I know that some people are still very nervous? What should they be looking at? What are some of the considerations?
Yeah, some of the things that people really should be aware of as they look at booking travel. And one of the good things actually is that when airlines are adding flights back, they're concentrating on their major hubs, and that is going to help people actually get to where they're going, because those major hubs have better connectivity to all the places that people ultimately are traveling to. And also probably one of the really important things is that when you do book travel, you know, more than a month or so in advance, there's a really good chance that that you might have to make some adjustments in your travel plans, because the airlines are really planning things very close in, because they don't really have a good idea of how things are unfolding either. So, like, for example, right now, if you looked at the month of August, most airlines are selling their full schedule for August that they had last year.
Right.
But sometime,
they may only operate 60% of it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So sometime in the next week or two, they're going to make big adjustments and cancel some flights. And so you're going to be getting an email from them saying, hey, here's your new itinerary. Mm-hmm. Now you can go in and talk with them and change that if there's something that will work better for them. But people should also, again, keep in mind that the airlines are requiring face coverings, and the airlines are now having consequences for people who are not wearing face masks.
Yeah, if you don't comply, you're going on a no-fly list, and that's not where you want to be if you ever want to fly again.
Right, yeah. Right. You know, and in terms of, limiting capacity on flights, the airlines, again, are taking some different approaches. Delta and Southwest, for example, have committed that they will keep middle seats open through September 30th. American and United, on the other hand, are not committing to keep a certain number of seats open. However, if flights get to be a certain level of capacity, and I think they kind of look at 70% or so, they are saying that they will notify you, so that if you are not comfortable with having a somewhat full flight, they will give you the opportunity to rebook something that may not be quite so full.
One of the big changes, and I think this is really a change for the better, is when you are booking a flight right now, there is an opportunity to make a change with the airline in different time periods. But, that's been a point of contention for a lot of travelers, Dick Grunzel, that the change fee domestically could be $200 per person.
Correct.
That's being waived pretty much right now.
Yeah, it is. I mean, pretty much any ticket that anyone holds right now, and then any tickets that people would buy by June 30th, the airlines are basically letting people change with no change fee. Now, if there's a fare difference, you could end up actually getting a refund if the new fare is less. But if the fare is more on your new flight, they will charge you that fare difference. And you can even change destinations, too. It doesn't even have to be the same destination.
Now, what about the work at the airport on the runway?
That is continuing full speed ahead. The FAA, this has not impacted the grants that the FAA is issuing for capital improvements at airports. So our project, which is going to result in a new runway, is continuing as scheduled.
When is that going to be complete?
We're in the design phase right now, design we're hoping is going to be wrapping up in about a year.
Okay.
And then there's probably a couple-year construction time frame beyond that.
All right, let's talk now about vendors. When people do return to the airport, what's open?
Okay, right now, before you go through security, the Arroyo Trading Post is open, so you can get all your, it's basically a newsstand, but it also has a lot of snacks, drinks, and that sort of thing. Once you get past security, on one concourse, El Charro Cafe is open. On the other concourse, Cervezas Cantina is open.
There is food service.
Right.
At least some food service is available
at the
airport.
And on the B concourse, which is American, Delta, and Alaska, we just opened Beyond Bread, I believe. And then on the A concourse, We're also going to be opening Brugger's Bagels by sometime around the end of this month. So as the passengers return, we are opening more locations. There's also news outlets and gift outlets open on both concourses.
Dick, we have not talked about TSA. Any changes when people come to the airport in that arena?
Not much. You'll see the plexiglass shields there as well. You do have to take any food out of your bags now and put that through separately in one of the smaller bowls that you see there because you know, they're trying to minimize having to open people's bags to inspect. So just little changes like that. You will they will not take your boarding pass anymore. You put it on the machine yourself.
The reader.
The reader mm-hmm. To do that. Mm-hmm. And they also have machines now where you basically kind of insert your driver's license so you don't have handle that back and forth with the TSA agents anymore either.
All right, and I checked your website, and you're really keeping up to date on not only, of course, arrivals and departures, but you kind of got as much information as possible for folks out there.
Yes, we do. FlyTucson.com. We have all of the information, again, about all the things we're doing to make people safe and comfortable through their travel. So check that out. You'll be able to see a link on that right on the homepage. So anyone who's concerned about that, we encourage you to please go and check it out.
And the air quality within the airport?
Yes.
Some pretty heavy-duty industrial cleaners, don't you?
Yes, we do. We do have very heavy-duty, filters in all of our, air conditioning equipment throughout the terminal. So, and that's, again, that's something we already had, so that's nothing new, even with the COVID.
All right, Dick Grunzel, thank you very much. FlyTucson.com for more information. Always a pleasure to see you, Dick. And I think it's a pretty optimistic report compared to where we were 3 months ago with you.
Things are, I am much more optimistic than I was 2 months ago. It's
all
great.
Right. Thank you, Dick. All right. We've got Dr. Richard Carmona waiting on the live line for us. Boy, we've got a lot to talk with Dr. Carmona about. That's next on Buckmaster and the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studio.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things is my go-to place for all things green, and a lot of people have been joining me as Green Things celebrates 50 years and still growing, 3384 East River Road. It's a 13-acre site, so much room for social distancing and finding everything you need for your garden. GreenThingsAZ.com is their website. Then there's ZocaloVillage.com for all that great merchandise. Much of it handcrafted from Latin America. Dr. Richard Carmona joins us now on the live line. Dr. Carmona, former Surgeon General, now Chief of Health Innovation at the Resort Canyon Ranch in Tucson. He's also directing the University of Arizona Reentry Program as students start to return. Dr. Carmona was a Vice Admiral in the Public Health Service Commissioned Corps and served as the 17th Surgeon General of the United States. He's a professor at the Zuckerman College of Public Health at the U of A. He began his medical career as a United States Army Special Forces medic in 1967. He is a combat decorated Vietnam veteran. He's had a very successful law enforcement career. He's been connected to the Pima County Sheriff's Department since 1986. Dr. Carmona, how are you, sir?
Doing well. Thanks so much, Bill. Nice to speak with you again.
Before we talk about the reentry program, law enforcement agencies are being targeted around the United States as city councils and counties start redirecting law enforcement funding to social services. Your thoughts on that, please, sir?
Well, I understand why people are upset with some of the, frankly, atrocities that we've seen. As it relates to that, but what I would say is that's not representative of the law enforcement I know. I've been with the Sheriff's Department for about 35 years, and I have not seen any of those types of activities here. And as I travel around the country, see other law enforcement agencies, I don't see it there either. However, it's clear that there are problems. There are inequalities that still exist in a justice system that's supposed to be equal. And we need to address those. However, I don't feel the way to address it is by pulling law enforcement funding or some people who want to just do away with police departments. I don't think that makes sense. If you look at the calls on a daily basis, you look at everything that police do every day and put themselves in harm's way to keep our communities well and safe, I think that's the bigger story there. But we should look. We should examine, are the practices contemporary? Are we doing the right education? Are police handling their responsibilities appropriately as far as use of force and things like that? All legitimate concerns that will have different answers in different communities, but they should be addressed.
Are you concerned about this?
I'm very concerned. I mean, the case I saw in Minnesota, just about every officer I know thought that was, appalling, that the man was no threat. He's handcuffed. He's face down. He's on the ground. You know, basically, it wasn't necessary to cut off his breathing by kneeling on his neck. So we are very concerned, and that is absolutely improper behavior that led to the unfortunate death of this man. But again, as I said, I think that should not be held out as being representative. There certainly are cases of inherent bias. There are things that we can learn to be more socially engaged with our communities that vary across the United States. But let's not forget that the police keep our communities safe every day. and they provide a vital function. So I think it's overreacting to say we don't need police anymore or cut their funding. I think that's wrong. And the other side is, you know, policing was never meant to be a social services agency. They have to engage the public and assist. But if you look at, like I look at my colleagues here at Pima County, they're often stopping and helping homeless people. They've got a missed team that deals with mental health problems in the community, a lot of de-escalation training. So, you know, I'm proud of the work I've seen happening here in Tucson, where officers are very sensitive to the evolving needs, social needs, as well as law enforcement needs of a community, and they do the best to fill those gaps.
All right, let's talk about the University of Arizona Campus Reentry Task Force. It's led by President Robbins. You're directing it. This is a huge task. You have weekly updates. There was one this morning. What is the latest, Dr. Carmona?
Well, the job that we've been assigned by the president is to assimilate all of the information that hundreds of professors on the university have brought forth as to how and if and when to open the university. That's everything from sanitation and food services to dormitories to traffic, just anything and everything that opens up a university. And so in order to do that, you need a system, and that's the incident command system. And so our incident command system consists of a whole host of people, but at the very top, these are all law enforcement and fire and EMS professionals who deal with incidents like this on a daily basis, not only pandemics, but fires like are up in the foothills, active shooters, earthquakes, hurricanes. This is the organizational structure that we bring together resources to be able to protect the community and recover from any and all hazards that a community may face. So within our incident command system, you'll see we have Chief John Ivanoff, who just retired from the airport police and was the chief of over fire and police. Chief Danny Sharp, who was a deputy chief in Tucson Police and then went on to Oro Valley and retired there and was a city manager as well. We have other others on there who are nationally recognized ICS experts working for the federal government as deployable assets, like with the forest fires we're having now in the hills and the Catalinas. So we have a very experienced group of individuals who know how to assimilate all of this information, and then through the sectors that they oversee, operations, planning, logistics, we put together a plan for the president to decide how, when, and if the university will open. And there's a wide range. It could be all digital, or it could be a fully operational university, which seems doubtful today because the cases are going up still in Arizona.
When will that decision be made, Dr. Carmona?
We meet with the president every single day. I have incident command meetings on a daily basis. We meet with the president at least once, sometimes several times a day, with senior staff. There's no fixed date yet, but what we recognize is in the next few weeks, the president knows he has to make a decision, because if we are going to open in some fashion that is where physical presence is expected, the professors have to get ready, the students have to drive or fly here, the ones that don't live here. So we're cognizant of all of that. But the most important driver for us now is the physical facility is getting ready to be used again as if it always has been. But we are tracking the epidemiologic data on a daily basis. That is, how many cases of COVID do we have? How many are serious? How many aren't so serious? How many beds are available in the community, hospital beds? How many ventilators? How many ICU beds? Because we have to balance the resources in the community versus a new population coming in that could tax those resources, which are operating at about 80% or so now. So we have a little margin, but not a lot of margin. So we can't bring a lot of people back unless we have the resources that are available. Student health is plugged into this at the university. Just about every agency is represented at the university. So we will have these daily incident command meetings, gathering information, tracking information not only in Tucson, but Pima County, the state of Arizona, United States, and globally, because 15% of our students come from overseas. So it's very, very complicated, but we have the best minds on it so that the president will be able to make the best informed decision in the next few weeks.
All right, I'm coming up on the break, but I don't want to hold these callers over during the break. So let's see if we can get a quick question and then a comment from Dr. Carmona, then we'll take the break. Robert, you're first. Please make your question as short as possible.
Richard,
When my oldest brother got arrested, my father sat all eight of us down and said, if you don't comply with police, then I'm going to have a problem with you. And if you get arrested, you're going to stay there. I'm not going to come down in the middle of the night and get you out of jail. Now, having said that, I wish those guys hadn't died, but they had it coming to them.
Well, my sense is I think any death is a tragedy for us. And unfortunately, in these particular cases, it's complicated. And we are tending to lump together all of these cases now because there's so much social unrest about the inequality. And then this comes up and it's added on and it's, you know, just more fuel to the fire. Each of these cases has to be evaluated independently. And, you know, no police officer wants to use lethal force unless they absolutely have to. Yeah. Using the case in Minnesota as an example, the man was in custody. There was no reason to kneel on his neck so he couldn't breathe. Other cases need to be looked at individually as well, because it's really unfair to pass a broad brush across all of these because they seem to have a single point of connection. This is much more complicated than that. And as I said, the law enforcement I've seen, especially within the Pima County Sheriff's Department for the years I've been here, very sensitive to community needs. But yet when they have to step up and be strong and take appropriate police action to protect the property or persons, I see they do that all the time, and they do it well.
All right, Roberta, real quickly, please, before the break.
The virus attacks cytokines in the lungs. Are there cytokines in other parts of the body, too?
Yeah, the cytokine system is in your body, and basically for the public that's listening, it's a pathway that your body metabolizes certain substrates that you bring in, and it reacts to when you have an infection. It reacts to inflammation if you got a cut, for instance. And with what they call the cytokine storm, is your body is reacting to this virus and trying to get rid of it. But in doing so, so many of those cytokines go out there and cause more inflammation that in a small amount of people, you will literally drown in all the mucus and the inflammation with your body trying to heal. There's more information now that's being developed on that cytokine storm. It seems that certain people are predisposed to it genetically. So there's a lot of research going on now to define that population, which could be at higher risk for a cytokine challenge.
All right. We have so many questions still for Dr. Carmona. We'll take our break right here. It's the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Be right back.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD. The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
All right, welcome back to the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. When you're ready for a road trip, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico would be a great opportunity, just a three-hour drive from Tucson. I can give you the Buckmaster Show guarantee that it's going to be cooler over there. We're looking at next week, 109. Today, we're looking at a high of about 100 degrees, but over in Silver City, where the elevation is about a mile high, it's going to be cooler. Usually, the temperature makes things about 10 degrees cooler in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Great starting place is southwestnewmexico.org. There you will find the latest information about where to stay and all sorts of great recreation opportunities. There it is, midday temperature, and they are 1 hour ahead of us, 82 degrees in Silver City right now. So there you go. That's quite a bit cooler than Tucson. We continue now with our conversation with Dr. Richard Carmona, the 17th Surgeon General of the United States, and he is now leading Dr. Robbins, the president of the U of A, is heading up, and Dr. Carmona is directing the University of Arizona Campus Reentry Task Force. Dr. Carmona, let me hear from you. What do you make of these numbers? I tell you, trying to track these numbers on this day-to-day basis, pretty much everybody's so fixated on the number of cases. But if you look at Pima County, the deaths seem to be fairly stable, as do the hospitalizations. What's your take?
Well, we have an incomplete picture, Bill, because we're only testing a small percentage of the population, so we don't know what the actual denominator is. And so we're trying to ramp that up. So we're dealing with imperfect information. But based on the predictions that we look at, the amount of cases we have today, the amount of cases we expect in the next few weeks, and looking that against how many hospital beds are available, how many ICUs, so that if somebody gets sick, do we have a place for them to go? Some of the projections suggest that by the end of June, beginning of July, if we continue to relax social distancing, engage in our regular activities, we'll see cases go up. And at that point, we could be at a critical nature in Tucson where the resources are at a max. And we'd have to be careful at that point and have to start, you know, looking at our emergency plans to be able to help alleviate some of those problems. So, as I said, it is concerning that the numbers are going up. We wish they would stay flat or go down. Some of the complicating factors are as we test more, we'll see more patients there, so that we have to figure out, is it increasing only because we're testing more, or is it actually increasing with that? And those are epidemiologic studies that are being done to determine the difference between the two. But it is concerning. These are real numbers that are going up, and we should be doing all we can to be able to decrease the spread of disease. But we also have to weigh that against the need to continue to operate our communities and our businesses and such. So it's a fine balance that everybody's struggling with on both sides of the opinions.
The question over masking is just be turned into this incredibly heated controversy. Give us your take, Richard Carmona.
Yeah. Up until recently, what we had been doing is to suggest any time that you cannot be guaranteeing social distancing, that is at least 6 feet apart or more, that you should wear a mask. And part of the reason is that we know that 25 to 30% of people who are infected are asymptomatic. So the guy next to you, the girl next to you could have the virus and be spreading it, but they feel fine. And that's one of the scary parts. So the idea is you could be the one spreading it, so keep a mask on. It'll help you if you cough or sneeze from spreading it if you're the one carrying it, and it'll give you a little protection against somebody else. The reason it got ramped up by the mayor and others are thinking that we may have to do it as well is that if the case count is rising, one of the ways that we can help deter transmissibility is to have a mask on. And that's not going to eliminate the risk totally, but it will help to reduce the transmission of the virus.
I see that U of A with the athletic program, athletes are coming back on campus. What's it like wearing a mask while you're engaged in athletics, Dr. Carmona?
Well, the athletes have, there's a special program that we've developed for the athletes. Their housing is special, sanitation, they have special education. They're being tested frequently to ensure that they are not infected. If they're infected, they get moved away from the training, and the training is very different now. They're doing individualized strength training and aerobic training, but not the way they would normally preseason, where there are hundreds of them get together and, you know, share a locker room and things. All of those practices have been changed. So they're able to maintain their physical strength and agility, but doing it in a different way.
Now, when you give this, and you say you're meeting every day with the university president, Dr. Robbins, I would assume when he makes the final decision in a couple of weeks about what the reentry, what it will look like, that's also going to impact the athletic program, correct?
Yes, absolutely. We know that. The athletes, 500 of them come back right around now, and they've already begun testing, and they're in a special program designed for them with the athletic director, Dave Hickey, and his team have worked with us and the other professors at the university to ensure the best practices are used to keep our athletes healthy. But it's a new world. They're not going to be able to train the way they did. We're not going to see a full football stadium or basketball stadium in the near future, but yet we are going ahead and allowing them to train in a safer manner so they can keep those skills up.
Well, in the concluding minute or so, people are so freaked out. Well, can you give some reassurance or comfort to our listeners that this is not the end of the world?
Well, it certainly isn't. You know, we haven't seen a pandemic like this since 1918. And that was the last big one. But when pandemics occur, there's two paths that they can take. You can take the scientific path, which is, you know, social distancing, washing your hands, wear a mask, stay home. And what that does is prevent the virus from being transmitted, and then slowly it starts to drop in the community. Or you go with a plan that is either hybrid or more sociologically driven, and what we call driven by COVID exhaustion. After a couple of months, people are tired. They're not working. Businesses are closed. They've lost their job. And they just figure, and you hear it all the time now, Bill, I'd rather take my chances going to work, getting a job.
Yes.
If I get sick, so be it. But I can't live like this anymore because this is not life. So that's the struggle between the science side of this and the sociologic side, where people are losing their homes. They don't have a job. Their kids can't recreate. And so it is a very, very difficult time that we all have to be sensitive to, and I think we'll learn a lot from this so that as we look back on this, when we recover from this, we'll have learned enough that I think we'll do this differently in the future.
I agree with you. All right, Dr. Carmona, it's always a pleasure to catch up with you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Bill. Nice to be with you. Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot. Dr. Richard Carmona, former Surgeon General of the United States, and he's so involved now with the U of A. They've got this task force. They're meeting every day with the president. It will be up to the president of the U of A. He'll have to make that decision here in a couple of weeks, what this reentry is going to look like. It could be, as Dr. Carmona said, all virtual, a little bit of virtual, or all everybody back. But we'll find out how that goes. On behalf of Tom Fairbanks, engineer producer, my friend, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Dave Ramsey is next. Have a great afternoon, everybody.